You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Psalms 119. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you that we have your word and we have you, our Lord, the word to help us, Spirit of God, with the words. And our Father, we thank you. So deal with us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And Psalm 119. In our exercise and study, a little bit of 1 John chapter 1, in the light of the Gospel of John that we finished. And God expects us to understand the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to be able to know and honor God, his person and his work. He's our creator, he's our savior, and we're to honor him and know him now. And therefore, we're to have a unique relationship to him, an awesome relationship called fellowship. Now, and going back a little, coming forward, Psalm 119, we are reminded that God, we need light. Remember now, apart from light, your eyes are useless. Apart from light, your eyes are useless. Don't need them. You only need your eyes because of light. God gave that. Without you, cover your eyes, can't see. God gave us physical sight, and he gave light by way of the sun, etc., etc. And we have light to see his creation, to see God's word, to see God. What do we need to see? Creation and all that God has done with our eyes, the wonders of the flower, of the bug, of the sun, to see. Now, having physical sight, we see the creation of the Creator, and therefore, now we need to see the Creator who created the creation. How am I going to see the Creator who created the creation? God, how am I going to see you? You're beyond everything. There is no way to see you. No, God sent his son to die on the cross. To what? To be able to make God seeable. To be able to come to grips with God in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, John 1 and 14 and all of that. He is the Word become flesh. John 1:1, the Word was with God, the Word is God, was God. The Word. Now God, how are we going to know? God sent his Son to be the Word, to bring the words of the God's Word to the front, so that by having God the Son, he makes possible the Word of God in your hand, I hope, looking to God, so we can look to your word to understand the word, because all the words, hang on, John 5 and 39, if you want to search the scriptures, and you search the scriptures, and you search them with all your heart, you'll find me. What are you going to find as we search the scriptures? We're going to find our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about the Word. The Word become flesh and dwelt among us. If we take over in Luke 24, and we did all that, 24, 44, 27, 44, all of that, what would we know? God said, I gave you the Bible, Genesis, the Psalms, prophets. I gave you the Bible for what reason? To be able to know me. They are all about me. So as you read the 66 books of God's Word, it's all telling me about you, God. The Word giveth light. I give you sight and light to see my creation, to see your what a wonderful thing where I put you and what kind of a God I am. And now I sent my son for you from Genesis all the way to understand. I want you to know me in a most awesome, wonderful way of who I am. So therefore, you've given us thy word. Psalm 119. You are familiar. Psalm 119, picking up in verse 105 directly. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And sliding over, as you would know, Psalm 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Verse 30, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. God, here we are, and you are wonderful. Having your word is a wonderful thing. Over to the book of James. We have your word to have light, to understand. Over to the book of James. And picking up in James and chapter 1. And you will note, if I can, in chapter 1, picking up if I can, in God. You want us to have such a relationship to you that we're very, very comfortable. Now, verse 25, James 1, 25. But whoso looketh, this is looking, bending down, looking intently at something. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. If I keep looking at God's word, the perfect law of liberty, the truth will set you free. And I continue to looking. I'm going to what? He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I keep looking at the word of God, and the more I look at the word of God, the more I understand the word of God. And the more I understand the word of God, the better off that I am. In the light of his creativity, he's my creator and savior. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's the God of light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we're looking God. And what are we going to see in verse 21? Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, overflowing, abundant, the overflowing of evil, of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's why we keep looking. We don't want to look. You don't want to start your walk down the street to go to work. You start your walk, go to work, go to school. And the first 25 minutes, you keep your eyes open and do whatever. And then you choose for 25 minutes to close your eyes while you're walking. Would you do that? What would you do that for? Because then you want to go blind. No, you keep looking. You keep using your eyes. You're going to look at the perfect law of liberty. You're going to look at God's word. It gives light of who he is in a most wonderful way. He's the creator, the engrafted word, which is able to go and save us. That's what we're doing, letting God's word get to us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Sliding over to chapter 1 in verse 2. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, tests, trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, bearing up under the load. Verse 4. But let patience bearing up under the load have a perfect work. Perfect, perfect, perfect. As we keep reading. Perfect, perfect. 25, 27, 17. I should say 17. Here again. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. Let the patience have a perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect, entire, complete, wanting nothing. So you don't have a problem. You see, that's what you're seeing. I keep looking. What am I keep looking for? So that I can understand. Where am I going to get understanding? By looking at God's word. How am I going to understand the world I live in? The world around me, the world inside of me. How am I going to understand? I have my sight. My sight is this way. And what am I looking at with my sight? I'm looking out at the world. I need to see inside. That's what I need to see. God has to help me see inside. I can't see inside. God has to help me. That's why he stands at the door and knock. Why? He's the light of the world. He said, I am the light. You need to receive light in your darkness. Otherwise, you don't even know why you need to be. Why am I here? Where am I going? Why do I go through this? Why do I have that? I need to understand. I need light to understand. That's where we're going. Now, therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, in his most wonderful way, God is light. Over to 1 John. And in 1 John, if I can, picking up if I may. So we're walking in the light. We need sight to do so. And therefore in the light, in verse 5, but this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and him is no darkness, none whatsoever. Absolutely no darkness. And why do we need to understand darkness? Because in order to have fellowship, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that purpose, ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. How am I going to have fellowship? You need light. How can I understand creation if I can't see it? If I can't see the flower, I could feel it. I could learn about it with words, but I can't see it. I need to see. The heavens declare the glory of God. I need to see. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God is light. And I got to have light in order to see inside. I can't see inside. No, you can't. No, you can't. They can take your blood pressure and do everything. And usually when they see inside, you're asleep. Isn't that true? If they really want to go inside of you, I mean, you go night-night so that they can fool around in there, you know. That's what they're doing. Wow. I can't see. Even if I could. Then I take all my guts and I take my stuff out on the table. Imagination. And I look at it. All I see is what? Flesh. I see a kidney, I see a liver, I see heart, I see hands, I see everything. But I don't see me. How am I going to see me? I can't see me. God, I'm blind. I need to see. God saves us to see ourselves. Otherwise, we think of ourselves in all kinds of ways. But apart from God and light, we really don't see ourselves. We could see ourselves as awfully bad. We could see ourselves as awfully good. But we really aren't seeing. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to go, and God requires fellowship. In order to have fellowship, you've got to have light. You've got to have light in order to have fellowship. God is light. There's no way I can communicate. I won't understand myself. I don't understand God unless he gives light. So therefore, sliding down to verse 6, we share together. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We don't have light. If we don't have light, we don't have light. If we don't have light, we don't have life to enjoy it. We can't enjoy if you cover your eyes, and we're going to talk about back to the flower. We're going to tell about the flower. And if you cover your eyes, and I tell you, if I could really understand it, and I started explaining all the marvelous makeup of the petals and the intricacies of how that is formed and made, and it's marvelous to reproduce why it exists for the bumblebee and the butterfly to be able to come and do what they do. Wow! But I can't, I need to see. I hear you, but I can't see. I need to see. God help me. Therefore, if I say I walk in darkness and tell you I see the flower, I do not see the flower. I do not see the flower. I can talk about it. And as long as I'm with the other blind people, we'll get along pretty good. But for you people that see, and we talk about it, when I start talking about the flower and I'm way off base, you know I'm off base because I can't even see it, you see. Now, so God, what are we going to do? I lie and do not the truth. I need to be in the light. So how am I going to be in the light? Verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk, behave, live, keep our eyes open, stay awake, as we walk in the light, not in the dark, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, because that's the only way God is light, in him is no darkness. So I can't possibly walk with God in the dark. I have to be able to see in order to fellowship, to appreciate God's magnificent presence. Therefore, walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Now, we can't have fellowship one with another unless we're walking in the light. So here, what's going to happen? The blood of Jesus Christ is going to be cleansing us from all sin. That's present tense, to clear, to make something clear, clean, no impurities, no mixture. It's clean, cleansing us. From what? From all sin, or each and every sin, if that helps you understand the language. All sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me from all sin. All of it. All sin. Hang on. All sin. Each and every sin. From the day I was born till now, till the day I die. As long as I'm in this body, I am accumulating minute by minute sin. I have an old sin nature. If you have If you're carrying a bag of rotten potatoes and you never put the bag down, every time you look in the bag, there's the same rotten potatoes. Every time when you look in your heart, until God changes it, it's the same heart. It's the same heart. What does God do for you in a most wonderful way? He's going to save you. So, illustration that may help you. God's going to save you in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Remember, you need to be saved. When God saves you, he saves you like this. But when you walk in the light, you're still this. God saves you. But as you walk in the light, this didn't go away. You still think, feel, and everything the same as you did before you ever got saved. You're absolutely the same. Therefore, God, what am I to do? I'm to walk in the light. But in my heart, I walk in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. But I always have sin. If I say I have no sin, look at verse 8. If I say I have no sin, I deceive myself and make him a liar. I can't do that. In the light, I always have this. What are you looking for? I'm looking for God to take us home. What's he going to do? Give you a whole new what? Body, heart, like his. In the meantime, you walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ has to be what? Cleansing us, because we couldn't possibly enjoy God apart from the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Do you understand? They can't do it. So when you say, I have no sin, I'm pretty. No, you're not. If you walk into the light, you see yourself for real. And you say, well, I see myself. Well, keep looking, because it's going to increase to where Paul will say in Romans 7, in me dwelleth no good thing. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I won't see that now. I'm saved. I'm a sinner. One day, if I keep growing and I keep seeing, looking at the perfect God's word, I begin to see myself as I never did. Never did. Well, I wasn't so bad, you know. I might have done a couple of nasty things, but hey, you know, and pretty soon you're just plain nasty. You got it? There's nothing to fix. It's no good. No good. Let me do this so you see it. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, the cleansing blood, continuing cleansing. Now, what are we doing? Going back, if I may, to Israel. Over to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus in chapter 16. And if I may, Israel, how could Israel enjoy God? I'll use this again if I can. Here's Israel. Israel, God saves them. Some are saved, like Moses and Aaron, and many of them are not saved. They're not. They're there. They're part of Israel. But how do you handle God? You can't fellowship. You can't fellowship with them. Not like that. How do you ever handle Israel that's going to go and crucify you? How do you do it? In the Old Testament, what did they do every day? We shared it. Sacrifices in the morning, the priest sacrifices in the afternoon, sacrifices whenever they need them, morning and evening. That's nothing to do with the people. They just had to do it every day. Why? Because God was there and God was keeping them. God kept them. That's what he did. It wasn't because they were good guys. Oh, there were good guys among them, but they weren't all good. How can you save a nation that isn't believing? By grace, God's going to save Israel in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, Leviticus, we are reminded about it. Here's the Day of Atonement. And if I can, chapter 16, picking up, please, in verse 3. And thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Now, coming along, sliding along, verse 17. And there shall no man in the tabernacle of the congregation, when he goeth into to make an atonement to cover. Think, you want to see covering a little bit? What did God do? What did Adam and Eve do after they sinned? What did they know? They just knew it in their head. God took away their special covering. And it disappeared when they sinned. And they looked at each other and saw themselves as naked. The covering was missing. So what did they do? It was time to go for your afternoon walk in the evening, afternoon walk with the Lord. And you can't go walking in the afternoon with the Lord when you're naked. So what did they do? They made fig leaves. And if you look, fig leaves are pretty big. So not an oak leaf, fig leaves. They got the fig leaves. And they covered themselves. And then to boot, went and hid themselves behind the trees. What do they need? They're naked. They need covering. What did you do, God? You went, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, and God went and killed a couple of animals. God did it and had it all, and he gave them the coats of skin. What for? Adam and Eve are the same, but God's going to cover them. Forget the fig leaves. Forget trying to hide behind a tree. You need a covering that saves you and helps you. So God went and they put the coats of skin on so that they could what? Be saved. And that's what they did. And they enjoyed God. Abel did the same. Cain refused to put any coats on. That's atonement, a covering in chapter 16. Picking up, if I may. In verse 18, I verse 17 for you. Verse 18, and he should go out into the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the upon the altar round about. Verse 19, and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times. And how is it going to cleanse? What's going to happen with it? Why the blood? He's going to cleanse it and hallow it, make it holy, set apart from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. He's going to cover it. He's going to cover it for them. They look awful. God's going to cover it. In the work of his son, he's going to cover them. How can God see humanity now? Over 8 billion people on planet Earth. How does God see them? He doesn't see them in a good way. The wrath of God abideth on top of them. John 3:36. How does God see them? He sees them. They're this. God has provided a Savior. That is, God has provided a Savior for them to be saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so therefore, it's going to cleanse them. What do you got in 1 John 1:7? And the blood of Jesus Christ is continually what? Cleansing you. From what? All sin. Because this still exists. And if the blood doesn't keep cleansing you, you're in trouble. Each and every sin. Hang on. Now, and in the process, sliding, if I may, over in chapter 16, verse 30. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean. from all your sins before the Lord. That's the purpose of the blood, to clean us, to make us clean. Hang on. Verse 31. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls for a statute, by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make an atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments, to cover himself. Verse 33. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. He shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. He's going to cover the whole thing, the building, the people, with blood. That's the only way. The only way God will deal with it. Has to be clean. Has to be clean. He walks in the light. Verse 34. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you. You shall make an atonement, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses on the Day of Atonement. God did that most wonderful thing to save them, to clean them, to give them this awesome, wonderful cleansing. That's what God did. But we're still dirty. Yes, but you're clean. You're clean. Well, how are you going to know you're clean? God says you're clean. I cleaned you. But I'm not taking you home yet. I'm leaving you here. You're to be a testimony of my saving grace. You're just like the rest of the world. The difference is you're saved. You're able to identify with people because we're just like them. We are them. But I'm being a testimony to all of these people by way of saving you, so that they will see. I'm able to save whosoever that would believe in a most wonderful way. I'm able to make right that which is wrong. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, here's this cleansing. Over, if I can, just to drive home that point. Over to Hebrews, if you can, the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews in chapter 1, remember we just, in the book of Hebrews, Sunday school. And just to remind you, God is telling you about your awesome high priest who gives you wonderful access to God. And the same priest, our Lord, gives God a wonderful access to you. How can God have a wonderful access to me? Because the blood of Christ covers me from all my sin. It cleanses me. Otherwise, it continues to cleanse me. Because I'm me. I get out of bed tomorrow, I'm the same. Get out of bed next month, I'm the same. I'm the same. And God saves me. Until what? I'm waiting to go home when God will make me a whole new creature. That's what he'll do. But I'm not there yet. I'm here. I have to understand that. And the more I understand that, the more rightly I'll be sober, serious, real serious about being saved. Because God is cleansing me from all my sin every single second. And God sees me covered, cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He, like we did in Sunday school, Christ went to the cross and took my sin. Christ took my sin and his blood was shed. Christ rose again so that the God who took me to the cross is the God who took me to the grave and buried my sin. He's the God who took me to God. And this is the God that says, now, I want you to enjoy my son. And that's why he gives me life. Being saved, knowing the Lord is your Savior, God gives you, provides for you your rightful death and your awesome life so that you have a life. You're cleansed from all your sin. every single sin, every single sin. And the law of jeopardy says you can't be tried again. Right? You can't be tried again. That's right. That's why, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Let me keep going. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being our Lord, the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, all by himself, purged, there's your word clean that you have in John 1, 7. Purged, cleanse, prune, well, had himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He cleansed our sin. And when he was done cleansing, he sat down. He's not going to get up to do it again. It's finished. It's finished. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully finished. Over to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 2. For 10, 2, Hebrews. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, cleansed, should have had no more conscience of sin. He took care of it. So it isn't a problem of my sin. I just am a sinner. God, I have an old nature. It isn't a big deal. It's a lousy deal. But I have it. I'm going to have it till I go home. And so will you. We have it. Over chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 22. Verse 22. Let us therefore draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Do you see the two words, pure water, cleansed? Pure water, cleansed, clean, clean. That's why we come to God. We don't come to God because of our whatever, and we don't want to come because I've been good, I haven't been faithful, I haven't been ever. No, you confess, that's why you keep going. Because why? God has saved you from every sin so that you can move, that you don't get hung up, discouraged, depressed, depleted, all the words. Wow. Now, sliding if I can, in verse 22, verse 24. Let us consider one another and provoke one another to love and to good works. Why? Because God, you have gone and done a wonderful, wonderful thing to save us. So we encourage each other. We don't encourage each other. We have fellowship. How are we going to have fellowship? Because we're being cleansed. So it isn't anything about you're right and he's wrong or she's right and he's wrong. You don't do that. You don't do that stuff. You don't do it. You don't do it. That's flesh. Lousy. Lousy. I hear it. I see it. No good. But we're cleansed. From what? I'm being cleansed. I'm being cleansed from every sin. So it isn't my dumb things, my thoughts. They're all there. I hate the thought when I think wrong. Do wrong. God, it's part of my old nature. That's why I don't talk about my old nature. I don't talk about my old nature because I hate it. But I got it. I have to live with it. You know. Wow. Now, therefore, if I can, in chapter 10, and again, as we share together, over chapter 9, one more time in Hebrews just to see it. Hebrews in chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 13. For if the blood, 9 and 13 of Hebrews, for if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. In other words, the Jews back then would be covered with blood, and God would honor it. God would honor that. And if the blood, it wasn't Christ's blood, it pointed to Christ's blood, but God would honor it back then. He honored what they believed, the promise that God was going to die, and they took the blood and covered themselves, as it were. And God honored it. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The word purge, to cleanse your conscience. How am I going to do it? My conscience, let your conscience be your guide. God, but I'm going to understand what? My conscience, I need to understand. I'm very conscious of my sin. If I say I have no sin, I make him a liar. And I deceive myself. I'm not going to do that. And I know it. Right now, there's no second I can talk to you, or you can talk to me without that old nature. What's the difference? It's when we're in fellowship that the blood is covering us. Otherwise, we're just talking normal. And we all used to it. We do it. And we don't care who hurts, or who's hurt, or who isn't hurt. It doesn't make any difference. We just do what we do. Do this, you know, whatever. That's what we do. And we have to walk in the light. You cannot have fellowship, verse 7, without with one another, unless it's in the light. Otherwise, you're all this. And you know, I used it. I'll use it again. In a moment, the other day I used it. I'd use it again. Bear with me. We have 100 pianos, Steinways, 100 of them, all lined up. And we take the pianos, and we have this Steinway talks to the next Steinway, to the next Steinway. And this Steinway says, I'm going to help you understand what to do. So they push the buttons. And I hear you, Mr. I'm the next piano. I do it. I get it. And then here's 98 pianos. But by the time I get over here, the tuning fork that tuned that piano is long gone. Because we're comparing. You do it another way. Here's humans. Here we are. And this human, here's human talks to this human. And I'm going to tell you a little wonderful story. I'm going to give you a verse of scripture. I'm going to tell you a verse of scripture. Paul, you ready? And Paul takes the verse of scripture and hands it. Each one, okay? And then you go whisper it to each one. And by the time it gets over here, and you stand up and you tell me what Paul said, what Paul read, I bet you it's not even close. Not even close. That's herd mentality. What do? We just follow the suit. We call the button, and 1,000 people come out to riot and burn. That's herd. Well, that's how psychology. That's what we are. We're just people. We move, sheep without a shepherd. We go. Someone lead us to something, to say something, do something. And that's what happens in our world. God, you got to say, that's how the churches are like this. People of believers are like this. They got to be in the light. And in the light, my dear friend, no matter what you've said and what you've done to me, I can't ever say anything because God has covered me from all my sin. And my sin is worse than your. What you ever think of me is what God has saved me from. So you'll never talk to me how ordinary, bad, and pesky and bothering you. It won't bother me. I'm not going to hold that against you. And I don't. I don't. No. God has saved me. You bet I don't. I'll bet. Is that true for you guys? No. I don't. Don't stop. Don't talk to her. Don't do this. Don't do that. No. 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 You aren't in the light. You're in the dark. And most churches are in the dark. We have fellowship like the pianos. And we all agree with each other. We should have been able to say, here's 1 John 1:7. all of us look at 1 John 1:7 and let 1 John 1:7 sink into your little head. So the same, how do we fix the pianos? Use the same tuning fork on each piano, and each piano will be exactly. Let Jesus Christ, the Word of God, be the same on this side and on this side, and it makes us one. Why? Not because of anything of us. What's making us one? Jesus Christ is. His Word, His blood is cleansing us from all sin. Wow. That's what He's doing. But people don't do that. We talk to each other like this. We don't talk to each other like this. And 1 John 1:7, we have fellowship one with another. That's a sidelight. If you aren't having fellowship with God, you do not have fellowship with one another. You just don't have it. But I'm a bishop. I don't care if you're a cardinal or a canary, whatever you are. What difference does it make? You don't have fellowship. You can say what you want. Where's God? I don't see God. I don't see the blood of Christ. I don't see the cleansing. Wow, I've got to quit. I missed. Boy, did I wonder. I sort of goofed in Sunday school, and here I am again. I'm trying to help you. Otherwise, now, therefore, over to Ephesians. Over to Ephesians. We didn't get very far, and I'm sorry. I hope you got a little bit, though. Do you know what it is to be cleansed when you get saved? God cleans you every whit completely. Hard to believe that, isn't it? It's hard even to experience it because we don't understand it. God totally took care of any and everything that ever could be in my life and took it to the cross. And when I died in Christ, that ended it. The law of God will never bring up a sin to me again, to you again if you're saved. He'll never bring up a sin. Do you understand? Take a minute. Hold your finger right here in Ephesians. Go over to John chapter 8. I can't do this, but at least a little, and hope your history and understanding will hold you in good stead. John chapter 8. John 8, 24. I said therefore unto you, said the Lord, that you shall die in your sins. Why? For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. In your sins, not because of your sins, in your sins. In other words, you stayed dirty. And you were content with staying dirty. And you'll die like that. You're going to go to hell like that. That's why hell's so awful. Because you're going to see this like you wouldn't dream. And you're going to see it forever. Now tie that together. You're going to live with this in reality forever. Man, I'd get saved very fast if it was me. That's what I do. I'm not messing around. No, sir. I don't care what the system does or what thinking is out there. Now, you'll die in your sins, not because of them. Over to John, Ephesians. I got to quit. Ephesians. Chapter 1. And if I may, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, because we were better, we took care of Him ourselves. No. According to the riches of His grace. That's why, dear friend Israel, that's why we're leaving heart today. And over Ephesians, Ephesians, and you'll remember that God has sealed us unto the day of redemption, and the Spirit of God do that part, chapter 4, and in verse 30, chapter 4, Ephesians, verse 30, grieve not, don't sadden the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed, made, sent, ready to go to heaven, unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Well, they don't deserve it. And nothing to do about that. Doesn't say that. Be kind and tender-hearted one to another, even as God, for Christ's sake, is forgiven you. He's forgiving you right now. And you can't forgive them? Well, he's forgiving you. And I'm not going to forgive you because then I have to turn around and say, God, you don't have to forgive me. God has to forgive me. He died. And I have to forgive. Period. Well, that's how I know what I'm going against your human nature. I know that. I'm just telling you what has to be as believers. And somewhere I got to roll up my sleeve and get this straight. So I want to enjoy being forgiven. Are you enjoying being forgiven? Literally. As you goof, don't you ever goof? Say stupid things? Aren't you glad? You can confess your sin and boom, I'm all finished. God can never get me again for any sin. He holds against me for I walk in the dark instead of being in the light. I lose the fellowship. Do you know, I told you years ago up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the name of the cemetery, anyway, up there. And here's the old cemeteries up there in Cambridge. And here's the cemetery stone. And on the stone, here's the stone. There's no name in it, nothing on it. No. There's only one thing in it, one word, forgiven, and an arrow pointing up. Forgiven. Who's there? A forgiven one. Who is now there? They were here. Now they're there. Forgiven. Cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us, who died for us. I got to quit. Our Father and God, help us in every way. Help us in every way. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you. For your blood, our Lord, because you exercise your wonderful presence in my life, in our lives, because you did shed your blood and you died and took us to the cross so that you could find your home in our heart and that we could find our home in your heart. God, God, make it happen. Even soon, even so come. In Christ's name, Amen.